right, we're back. We're alone. No more movie stars.
Empty seats.
The energy left.
And the same amount of small donuts.
Yeah, you're over in, 0.5 donuts did not hit. Even though they're both like, thank you so much for the donuts. Didn't even grab one. I told you.
Movie stars
don't eat junk.
That's Hollywood self-restraint.
That's why we'll never be there.
You can be in the same room as junk.
Yeah. I just stare at them.
Thank someone for the junk.
And then not even grab it.
Don't consume the junk.
I have an apple in my bag. It's not going to get eaten.
It's a big fruit morning for you.
Yeah, it was a big fruit moment. So no Timbits. Whoops. No donut holes were eaten by the movie stars. But Justin and I were just talking, you know, reminiscing on that moment. And my God, do they have piercing blue eyes. We were both staring into the ocean, the soul of these men. And their eyes are just immaculate on those two men. But Justin says he's not an eyes guy.
I didn't notice the eyes. I'll be
honest.
How
could you not?
I didn't notice the eyes.
They were glowing like huskies.
I don't think I'm an eye guy. I think the eyes can be like more, they can do more damage than good. Like a lot of people are like, oh my God, beautiful eyes. And that's what makes them attractive.
That's the weirdest thing you've ever said.
I think eyes can be like intimidating rather than like alluring.
Well, then
if
there's
that makes sense.
Two of us with crap brown eyes in here now.
Nothing wrong with brown eyes.
I know, but still.
What, do you wish you had a different eye color?
I don't know. Like sometimes I know people that wear colored contacts. Just like, I'm like, I know those aren't your eyes. Like you don't have gray eyes.
But that doesn't. Nah.
No, I'm good with brown eyes, brown hair. This song's about us.
Yeah. It's acceptable to have brown eyes nowadays.
Is there a song called Blue Eyed Girl?
They're not mistaking
Didn't
it
think
with,
so.
Not mistaking it with the ocean, but we're fine.
Oh,
we're out here.
Before we get our next guest, Mike Mayock, former NFL general manager, let's give away some tickets. Eric Church coming to Bud Stage this summer on July 7th as a part of the Outsiders Revival Tour. We're giving away tickets all week long. Well, it's Thursday, so you get two more chances. All you have to do is tune in to the Fan Morning Show every day this week and listen for the code word. Then you text the code word to 59559. You'll be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. Today's code word, July. Pretty simple code words we're giving out here. July. Text July to 59590 for your chance to win. We're giving away another pair of tickets tomorrow. If you don't win with us, you can secure your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. They officially go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
And we may be officially being trolled by these code words because we are wrong every day.
We keep getting excited for a song name.
We can't get out in front of it, but July makes a lot of sense. July 7th is when the Outsiders Revival Tour comes through Bud Stage with Eric Church. It all makes sense, I suppose.
I bet tomorrow's word will be code word. Friday. All right.
Baby Friday would have been good.
Oh, that would have been good. But that's two words. And, you know, people would be worried about spaces. And anyway. Okay. We do have our next guest on the line. Our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Mike Mayock, former NFL general manager, current Westwood analyst, calling the big game of the weekend. Well, they're all big, but Bills Bengals on Westwood 1 with a friend of the show, Ross Tucker. Mike, give us the inside scoop what Ross Tucker's like.
I've known Ross for a long time, and for an Ivy League guy, he really isn't that bad a guy.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're speaking to another Ivy League girl over here, and I just chirp him all day long, but we hold that little...
And she is that bad.
Yeah, I am that bad, so...
Wait a minute. Where did you go?
I went to Dartmouth, so the two of us have a rivalry that we never shut up about, so I'm sorry to the listeners.
See, when I was a little kid, my dad was the offensive line coach at Penn.
Oh.
So I go way back to watching Ivy League games, and when I took the Raiders job, Ross Tucker took my job with doing the Philadelphia Eagles preseason games, and I think about that all the time. And he's a great guy, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm. He's always talking about consuming food at the games.
Oh my God, like, loves his food.
Can he tie it? Like, is it legendary when he ties it on?
Well, I mean, he's a former offensive lineman. They're all fatties at heart, every single one of them.
Not a fatty. That's good. What, do the Bills have a good spread usually? I mean, I don't know how often you're getting there, but this is a big one this weekend. But do they like beef it up a bit with the playoffs? You know, maybe a little steak, I don't know, asparagus, bacon wrapped.
Asparagus.
Oh, that'd be kind of good, though. I don't know if it's asparagus season, but what's it like there at the Bills stadium?
In all honesty, I mean, this is kind of a dumb football guy. I couldn't even tell you what the spread is, because whether I'm at a game working for a team or I'm at a game doing the TV or the radio, I'm kind of fired up about the football. Mm. And I got to tell you, this game this weekend has got me juiced. It's really a good game.
Yeah, if you're going to be fired up about anything, it's Bills, Bengals, heightened emotions, of course, just with everything that's happened. Apparently, DeMar Hamlin might even be able to be in attendance. You know, the canceled game, the playoff stakes. How does a team both embrace the emotion, but also be able to control it and shut it out when it's time?
Yeah, you know, and that's, I think, a great question. And as a former player and someone that was a GM with the team, to me, it's all about team, right? And I thought the NFL community came together like I've never seen it come together. And I'm not talking about Park Avenue and the NFL offices. And I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about the players and the coaches and the people in the building. And all 32 teams came together like I've never seen. And from the night it happened throughout the whole next week and all the way through his recovery, it's been amazing. And I think because it's been such a good story and because DeMar is where he is now, I think his teammates and his coaches feel awesome about it. And I don't think it's really going to be an emotional issue this week either way.
Yeah, it's going to be a special moment. A lot of expectation that DeMar Hamlin will be in attendance. It'll be very, very cool to see that. And of course, as you mentioned, it's been such a great story with his recovery. What do you make of the quarterback battle in this one? I mean, the headlines are going to revolve around Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, and they're different guys that are kind of riding different trajectories at the moment. Josh Allen's been like, if Josh Allen's mistake free, it's hard to imagine the Bills losing to pretty much anyone. But Josh Allen has been mistake prone recently. And on the flip side, you got Joe Burrow, who seems to always elevate his team, and he's dealing with less than ideal circumstances with a banged offensive line. What is your key from this quarterback matchup? Two of the best in the game going at it in the biggest game of the weekend.
No, I think you hit most of it there. I think the key for Josh Allen is, can he play a clean game? You know, and I define clean as, you know, no bad mistakes, turning the ball over. If you watch tape of the Miami game last week, Josh Allen did some things to take your breath away. They had six catches over 20 yards. Two or three of them were amazing throws. He probably had five or six other deep balls over 30 yards that weren't caught. And I have no problem with that. I love that he pushes the ball down the field. It tells me he trusts his receivers. And when he gets the look he wants from a defense, he doesn't care. He's going to rip it. And I love that. Against cover zero, three times, right? He went plus 52, plus 14, and plus 31. Again, cover zero. They blocked it up. He gave his guys chances to make catches, and they did. I love all those things. If he gets a chance, he's going to rip it. Now, the flip side to it are the turnovers. And, you know, during the regular season, he had a total of 19 turnovers, 14 interceptions, 5 fumbles. And the fumbles are the problem. The biggest problem I have are the fumbles, and including the wild card. I mean, he fumbled the ball 16 times this year and lost six of them. Joe Burrow fumbled it 6 times. So both of them played 17 games. One guy fumbles at 16, the other guy fumbles at 6. And what that tells me, forget the interceptions for a second, because they both throw some interceptions, but the pocket mechanics, the pocket protection of the football, the ball getting ripped out. You know, he had 3 fumbles last week against Miami. The one he lost was a touchdown for Miami. The other two, he's fortunate that he didn't lose. So as exciting as he is, and as much as I love him, which I do, and he's, You know, you're looking at two of the best four quarterbacks in football right now. Mm-hmm. But Josh, especially in the pocket with the footballs, has to take care of the ball because Joe Burrow, if you guys remember last year when Cincy went all the way to the Super Bowl, you know, we lost to them, the Raiders, in the wild card round. We had the ball on the 9-yard line with four shots and we couldn't get it in at the end of the game. Joe Burrow gets hit a lot, but he doesn't turn it over. So that's what I really do believe. I think you hit it right on the head, Justin. I think they got which quarterback plays a clean game, and that the wild card is the Cincinnati offensive line. They got three starters out potentially, and that makes it hard sledding.
So we get so laser focused on the quarterbacks, and you mentioned two of the top four, like rightfully so. But if we're talking about playing a clean game, how much talk about the O-lines and the effect they have, but what about the skill position guys? Like, if the supporting cast is better in Cincinnati, which I think it is, do they make it that much easier on Joe Burrow to play a clean game?
I think it comes down, and I've talked to so many of the great quarterbacks over the years, it comes down to trust with the skill position guys, okay? You got to trust your running backs that they're going to pick up blitz and pass protect the way you want. You have to trust all your wideouts that they're going to be where you want when you want them. You know, I used to talk to Derek Carr all the time about, you know, Hunter Renfrow in blitz situations, how much he trusted him because he could win quickly out of the slot, right? So even on third and four, if you got a guy who can run a pivot route and pick you up five, that's a win, right? You got to trust that no matter who he's going up against, he's going to be where he's supposed to be when he is. And I think both these guys have that kind of supporting cast. So I think sometimes people say, you know, Cincinnati's wideouts, you know, Jamar Chase is special and Boyd and Higgins are really good. But, you know, I mean, Buffalo's got Stephon Diggs mm-hmm. and Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is a baller, okay? And now you got Beasley in the slot. McKenzie, I don't know what his injury status is, but I would not say that skill position-wise that Cincinnati's got any significant edge, no.
All right, let's look around the rest of divisional weekend games. We got kicking things off, the Jags at the Chiefs. Chiefs on a little bit of a rest, but I wonder how much you think the Jags' massive comeback, third best ever in NFL playoff history, actually builds momentum. Is that a real thing that teams can ride on, especially and maybe just Trevor Lawrence himself?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you can build a lot of momentum. On the other hand, you can empty the gas tank a little bit. And I give Doug Peterson, Trent Baalke, a ton of credit for what they did, the turnaround they had. But I've seen this Andy Reid, Mahomes thing a little bit too often to believe that they're going to lose at home or not play well at home. And I just can't. No matter how much momentum they do or don't have, I just can't see them going into KC and coming out with a win.
Do you see a similar, I guess, storyline with Jags having strong second halves and Kansas City recently having stronger first halves and then coughing up leads? Like those two teams kind of have the opposite game script at times.
Yeah, and again, I think my feeling is that Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the history of the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks. I don't always love it when a team can turn things on and off, like Kansas City kind of, because sooner or later you're going to get caught. But they're rested. They're ready to go. I think they're going to play an efficient game, and I think they're going to be in the conference championship, and I'd be stunned if they're not.
I don't know if it's been better for Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill, but I think it's been just as good having less star power offensively. What do you make of Patrick Mahomes' season? Like, he's probably going to win the MVP, and he did it with less. Was he just in a better position to succeed in this offense than he was in previous iterations of it, which technically had a little bit more juice?
I think he's one of those kind of guys that has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, no matter how good he knows he is. And when you tell him he can't do something, he can't wait to show you're wrong. And everybody questioned Tyreek's gone. What's he going to do? You know, and then they draft a 7th-round running back from Rutgers named Pacheco. And, you know, and he becomes the tough guy that gains the yards they need in the run game. And he distributes the ball, Patrick Mahomes does, all over offensively, develops a couple of young wideouts, with the constant being Travis Kelce, who's, I don't think we talk enough about Kelce. When I watch him on tape, I marvel at the way he runs routes, how he gets open, and the chemistry between the two. So I think it's a great question. I think Mahomes elevated his game. I think he distributes the ball where it needs to go. I think the glue is Kelce, and I think their offensive line does a great job. And Andy Reid puts them all in a position that it works.
A really ideal final game on divisional weekend with the Cowboys and 49ers. Historical stuff, star power. It's a really, really exciting matchup. And I think Dak Prescott is at the forefront in terms of intrigue and mystery heading into it. Which Dak Prescott do you expect to see? Is it the one that shredded the Buccaneers, or is it the one that struggled at times throughout the regular season?
Yeah, the Dallas conversation is a really hard one because they're a very talented football team on both sides of the ball. You know, we talked about Josh Allen and the turnovers, and Dak has even been more egregious. And, you know, he played a clean game last week. Tampa Bay, let's be really honest, though. Tampa Bay wasn't a good football team. And I was kind of amazed last week at everybody jumping on that bandwagon. They were an 8-9 team. Dallas has way more talent than they did, and Dallas won the football game. But the problem is I don't trust inconsistent teams. And if they get hot and stay hot and play consistently, they can beat anybody. But San Francisco, man, they're on a roll. This Brock Purdy is so freaking fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line is a top five offensive line. Their running back is a top three or four running back. Their wideouts are a top three or four group. And defensively, they choke you. So all I can say to Dallas is they better play their best game and they better play clean.
Yeah, I feel like Debo Samuel has been slow playing us all season long. He was kind of quiet all season, at least it seemed, and he was absolutely fantastic in the win on Super Wild Card weekend. I do wonder, though, one thing that's I guess maybe gamblers are picking up on, there's a rest difference in this game. San Francisco 49ers are going to play on 8 days rest, the Cowboys on 6 days rest. How much of a difference or how much of an advantage is that for San Francisco?
Well, it's kind of like Mike McCarthy said the other day, TV is king, and I think it's unfair. You know, I think Dallas is doing a nice job as an organization saying it's okay, we're fine. I think inside the building they're all going, are you kidding me? The NFL did this stuff. You know, that's ridiculous. That's the way I would feel, and I think as a GM, and I think the head coach would feel the same way. But it is what it is, and that's what their attitude has been, and I like that. Their attitude has been the right thing. It can be a little bit of a rallying cry in the building, but what I wouldn't like as a GM or a coach is it gives me less time to get my guys healthy and back to as close to 100% as they can be for the biggest game of the year. That's what would really bother me. They're saying all the right things. They got to travel on a short week to a rested team that's loaded. That's asking a lot.
Since we're talking about the Cowboys, I just want to ask about your thoughts on, I mean, last game with Brady and his post comments kind of sounded like it was a farewell. Obviously, he's got some opportunities, some options this postseason as a UFA. I don't know if it's, have we seen the last of Tom Brady, but do you think we've seen the last of Tom Brady as a Buccaneer?
I'm not sure Tom Brady even knows that. And I think at the end of the day, when you're, this is what happened to Tom last year, right? He retired, and then he got a peek at retirement and said, are you freaking kidding me? No, I'm better than most of the quarterbacks in the league. Why should I retire? And that got him in trouble a little bit at home, I guess. But at the end of the day, I think he's going to take his time this time. He's a free agent. My gut tells me that he wants to play, and he looks around the league and says, I still can. And B, it wouldn't surprise me if he looked around for what he thought was the most advantageous situation to try and make a significant run next year.
What do you make of the New York Giants, Mike? It's the last game we haven't talked about. I want to talk about the Eagles as well. But they're interesting in that it seemed like they were going to get absolutely nothing from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, who they spent, you know, back-to-back top five, top six picks in 2018 and 2019. It seemed like nothing would come from that. And yet all of a sudden, it looks like they've got a pretty decent talent base. It took a coach to extract the best out of them. But guys like Dexter Lawrence, who were picked early, it just seems like they did better than we were giving them credit for in recent drafts. And now they've got a decent talent nucleus. It might not be enough against Philly, but in terms of like team building and where they're headed, are you encouraged by what you've seen from the New York Giants?
Look, coaching matters. It always has. It gets glossed over sometimes. My vote, if I had one for coach of the year, would go to Brian Daboll. The GM is Joe Shane. They came over together from Buffalo, and they're tied together at the hip philosophically. So they walk into that building to a 4-win football team from the year before, and they got everybody on the same page. And I did the game. I did their game last week in Minnesota. So I had a really good look at the difference in that quarter. That quarterback is so different than he was his first 3 or 4 years. I mean, his ability to play clean football, we talked about that. He only turned the ball over 8 times all season. 5 picks and 3 fumbles, okay? Last week, he won the game with his legs. He carried the ball in the first half 10 times for 72 yards. That quarterback is a completely different guy. Why? Because of the coaching. He got great coaching. The whole organization's on the same page. Dexter Lawrence is a friggin' monster. And I would tell you right now, of the 8 teams left in the playoffs, from a talent perspective, they're number 8. And everybody knows that. They do a great job coaching. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins, they picked off the waiver pile in November from Buffalo. They're getting more out of that wide receiver group than I can even begin to tell you. And they're using Saquon Barkley in a way where, even though I forget how many carries he had last week, 11 or 12, but he had 130-some total yards because they got the ball to him in the pass game. They're maximizing their talent because of their coaching. And I take my hat off to the whole organization.
You say that Daniel Jones is different. Is he different enough to be a franchise quarterback, a Super Bowl winner in his future?
You know, the way I categorize quarterbacks is, one, there are franchise quarterbacks, and right now there's probably only 5, 6, 7 of those. And then the second level are guys you can win a Super Bowl with that are really good football players. They just can't put you on your shoulders and take it by yourself, right? So Daniel Jones came from nowhere to easily up into that second group. You can win a Super Bowl with him, but I think you need to get some more talent around him. And I think the Giants are probably going to sign him to a long-term contract. You know, the franchise number is somewhere in that. I think the non-exclusive tag is about $32, $33 million this year. So that's where the negotiations will start. But I'd be stunned if he didn't sign a 3, 4, 5-year deal sometime in the next couple of months.
So Jalen Hurts has played 1 game in his last month. It actually came against New York Giants, who, of course, the Eagles will host on Saturday night. It was a different performance from them, though, and specifically from Jalen Hurts, because it seemed like he was not fully healthy, trying to get some reps in, at least not showing everything he can do. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that he only had 13 yards on the ground, a little bit different than 2 weeks prior to that, or a couple weeks prior to that, because that was his return 2 games prior to that, when they thumped the Giants and he had 77 yards on the ground and a touchdown. When you go into a game and you haven't played like you haven't unleashed your full repertoire in so long, it's been weeks since Jalen Hurts has been full Jalen Hurts behind center playing in an NFL game. How much of an impact do you think that will have? And it is the belief that he's healthy enough to be the full extent of Jalen Hurts, which is a true, true dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that a couple different levels here. Level number one is the inactivity of the team in general. Hurts didn't play the last couple of games until the final one. Lane Johnson, their right tackle, who's as good a right tackle as anybody in football, he had been hurt. They needed to beat the Giants to get home field, which they did, but it wasn't impressive. So I'd be a little bit worried about just the inactivity of the team. That'd be point number one. And then point number two is just, and nobody's going to know this till Saturday night, but is Jalen 100% or close enough to 100% that he can play a normal Jalen Hurts game, which by definition means they're not going to be afraid to call planned quarterback runs, and he's not going to be afraid to pull the ball down and scramble when necessary. So they're a completely – he's a different quarterback when he complements the entire run part of the game into the overall game. They're an RPO team. He's improved his passing, but part of that package needs to be Jalen Hurts at a high level running the football.
Your former quarterback with the Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr, looks like his tenure there is over. What do you hope for him in the future?
I hope he ends up with a team with enough talent around him to be a high-level playoff team, and there's some of those out there that need quarterbacks right now. I think, forget this past season because I wasn't there and I don't know what happened in the building, but I think the 3 years prior to that, whether you like Derek Carr or not, he was a top 12 quarterback in the league, and he was certainly in that second group of quarterbacks where you can win a Super Bowl with him. You've got to surround him with some talent. So I would think there would be several teams out there that are worried about their quarterback situations that look around and say, man, had we had Derek Carr this year, we would still be playing. And so for Derek, who I think works real hard and it matters to him and is a good person, that's what I would wish for him.
Mike, this was fun. Enjoy the call with Ross Tucker. We'll be listening. Enjoy the rest of Divisional Weekend, and hopefully we can catch up down the road and do this again.
Yeah, despite your Ivy League partner, I appreciate it, guys.
That was Mike Mayock, former NFL general manager and Westwood One analyst.
And our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com. It's a must listen. You might mute the broadcast and listen to the radio call. Hear those two go at it.
That's going to be good. You mentioned Tom Brady.
I have mentioned
him. There are some betting lines out there for old Tampa Tom. Do you want to talk about that in the Wake and Rake?
Oh, let's bring it up now.
You want to let us know who's the odds-on favorite to
There's also Aaron Rodgers, too.
Oh.
So both of them have been released in terms of the betting odds. Where do you want to start?
Why don't they just switch places?
Honestly, that could be something here in the odds.
There's no chance Tampa Tom goes to Green Bay.
No, it's actually not even listed. Okay, so Tampa Tom. Odds on favorites for him. Do you want to guess? Like, I'm curious, like, what you think. Did you look this up?
No. If I did, I don't remember. I would say the 49ers are number one or Miami.
We should have talked to our buddy.
No. Yeah, it's
we
Mike.
We should have talked to Mike Mayock about
Vegas.
It.
It's Vegas.
It's the Raiders at plus 350.
Wow.
That's a sneaky one. You got to really think about that one.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, honestly.
Yeah, but you didn't think
why
about
wouldn't
it.
He want to go play for or play with Davante Adams?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that's a good enough team. Like, the amount of surgery they'd have to accomplish to make that a Super Bowl ready roster.
It's a cool place
I think
to live.
Is pretty extreme. But if you want to, like, transition out of the game, living in Vegas, nice weather, Tom seems to like the sunshine, you can find that in Vegas. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think he could be productive. I just don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl there.
All right. Following that, so he's plus 350 there. Dolphins plus 450.
I like the Dolphins.
And then Niners plus 500. That's your top three.
I think his best chance, best chance to win is probably San Francisco, but I don't think he's going to go there. I don't think they have...
No, Brock Purdy's the future.
And even if it's not, like, I heard someone talking about this, actually. If he goes there for 1 year and it's only 1 year and Brock Purdy gets to continue to learn after playing, maybe going to a Super Bowl, and then learning more from Tom, maybe he's just, like, unbelievable in a couple years.
You know, Netflix must be already writing this doc.
Why would Brock Purdy want
this
that?
This story.
Not that it matters what Brock Purdy wants.
It's going to be...
You think? I don't know if this is Netflix worthy. Is it?
Depends what happens next.
If he was drafted second last...
That's the whole point of this.
But the Mr. Irrelevant
The title's already Mr. Irrelevant, and it's his story to Super Bowl champ.
But we've already seen that story. Like, Tom Brady had that story.
Well, that's
wasn't the last pick, but he was a late pick who came in and became the greatest quarterback of all time.
The next favorite is the most chaotic. The Patriots. +600.
Patriots, interesting. I just can't see him and Bill. And
oh, they wouldn't my God. Imagine
they wouldn't be good. Like, it would be a complete
together.
Disaster.
Woo!
If they were better, I could see it. I think Miami's perfect.
Okay, there's a couple more here. Bucks, 750. So that's pretty low down the list, but I don't even think that's happening.
No.
Retirement +800. It's actually listed. Retirement.
That's actually, I feel like that's actually
pretty good value.
+800 for retirement for a 46-year-old is crazy.
And then Jets, and people hate this one, +900.
I think it's Jets or Dolphins. I think it's AFC East, and it's not Patriots.
So there's your future, +900 for the Jets?
The Jets are so, they're a playoff team. They could be playing this weekend if they had a top 10 quarterback. Honestly, they're really, really good, really talented. Miami's the same way. If they had a quarterback, they probably would have beat Buffalo on the weekend. Miami and New York being the Jets, very, very capable and like a ready-made roster for a big, splashy quarterback. So I see either of those working.
Here's Aaron Rodgers.
But that's the key. There's another quarterback.
Yeah, where is he going to go? +200 to Packers.
Okay.
Boring.
Jets next?
Niners next.
Ooh.
+450. The two of them vying for Brock Purdy's spot.
Yeah, well, you're going to
defend. Brock Purdy's looking at these odds saying, screw you guys.
Brock Purdy's got to win this weekend.
He's playing for his future. I brought this up with, was it Charles or it was Ross Tucker maybe on Monday. Like, this guy's not only playing for his team, he's playing for his, like, spot on this roster permanently. Like, he's come in and it's been a nice, fun story, but you got to deliver.
Nah, it's better than nice, fun story.
You just said it's not even going to be a Netflix documentary.
I'm not going to watch the movie because I'm watching it in real time, and I don't think it's that like amazing.
There's behind the scenes, you don't even know.
I just think Brock Purdy's clearly got himself a job in San Francisco.
Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers come
Rodgers
in, so he's playing for that
come
too.
Come in, cut his grass. He's playing for the position.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I meant by that. Okay. Raiders +575.
Okay. Raiders getting someone.
Yeah. They gotta retirement +650.
I'd be more interested in that. I think there's a better chance Aaron Rodgers retires than Tom Brady.
Well, that's what the odds say as
well. That's what the odds would say.
Good evaluation.
Okay, I thought that before I knew the odds.
Titans
right?
+1,200.
Why would
I have literally no idea why that's even listed.
Why not the Jets?
Jets +1,200 as well. Those two are tied.
Rodgers and the Jets makes almost too much sense.
And then Seahawks, 1,250, and Colts, 1,500. I think they're just like randomly throwing teams in there.
He's not playing for the Colts.
Anyway, I wonder if those will shift as the games progress.
Get those bets down.
How Brock Purdy does. Poor guy.
Okay, prediction right now. Where do both of them end up? I'm going Tom Dolphins.
Okay, I'm just looking one more time.
And I'm going Raiders for Rodgers.
I'm thinking Tom Niners.
The biggest Brock Purdy fan
I
in the
know,
world.
But
just wants to kick him out of the door.
It's very much linked, and I don't want it to happen, but
no, it makes
if
no
I was
sense.
Betting...
They're too good for Tom Brady. They are.
Yeah, but it's
they don't
Tom
need
Brady.
They don't need Tom Brady, who can't throwing ducks around.
I think
in
it would be
games.
A poor decision, but I think that it could happen.
Okay.
Maybe retirement. Whatever. Send in your wake and rake picks. Unfortunately, we can't put that in the parlay.
Where's Rodgers going?
Did I not just say that?
No, you said Tom going to the Niners, and you didn't give him Rodgers.
Jets.
I like it.
All right. I'm going for value +1,200.
Okay.
Okay, well, that was fun. Let's do our wake and rake on the other side of the break. You got a couple more minutes to send in your picks. We have Jets here against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you have the Raptors on the road against the T-Wolves in Minnesota. Australian Open, Neil in Newfoundland cannot miss, but he is dialed in on the Aussie Open. He's got some more picks in the text line. Everybody's asking for Neil in Newfoundland. Like, people are like,
it.
Where's Neil?
Neil growing into Neil. A superstar handicapper on the Fan Morning Show. I
Once
love it.
Again, Julius Randle over rebounds. Like, it is actually, like, spooky at this point. I don't want other people to find out about it, but I also want everyone to find out about it, but I don't want them to start changing the odds. It was at 12.5, and he still hit it 15.
That's why he's wearing a gold jacket.
This guy's amazing. And then our other Hall of Famer, Tage Thompson, back in action tonight. I don't know. He's been kind of quiet on our show as of late, so maybe there's something from that.
How about a Hall of Fame parlay, and then the Wake and Rake, and the alternate Wake and Rake?
Holy.
We're getting real aggressive.
We got lots to cover last night. We did pretty well, but not in, like, one short, what is it, one weakest link in all of our parlays.
But a weak link every single parlay I lost.
Just put them singularly. All right, that's next on the Fan Morning Show, The Wake and Rake with Justin and Ailish.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's time for the Wake and Rake. Yesterday, we did a Wake and Rake parlay. We did a Wake alternative Wake and Rake parlay. And we were close. Let me just explain. So, our Wake and Rake alternative parlay was a bit off the rails. It was Utah Valley.
We still don't know who they played. But they covered.
I think it was a Christian university.
It's better that we don't know.
-10.5, they covered. Our buddy Neil in Newfoundland, who just pumps out the Australian Open picks, Rublev, 5.5 on the spread, nailed it. Marcus Rashford didn't score, and that's okay. It happens.
Now, we can do another alt, Wake and Rake.
It's fun.
But maybe we should just put Neil in.
Maybe we should blindly put Neil in.
We'll go through them, but Neil has earned something here.
I think, with this recent run of form. And then our actual Wake and Rake, we had Stamkos over shots, which he scored a hat trick, so that helps.
But over goals.
We should have done that. Stars and Sharks over, which hit, and that was yours. And then the Avs Calgary Flames was close, but it unfortunately didn't hit the over. So we were close. We hit two of those. We hit two of the others. We also always hit Randall over assists once again.
Basically, if I get my pick right, we go 2-3. And if I get it wrong, we go 2-3.
Ah, that's true. I mean, the Wake and Rake text line has been red
hot.
And
you just always get it right.
Well.
Actually, no. The other day, you blew one up.
Yeah. Don't give me too much credit.
We're hovering. We're close. We're getting there.
All right. So, tonight, we have lots to choose from. Jets at the Leafs. Raptors on the road against the Timberwolves.
Yep.
We have something to read to you first. Maybe it'll inspire some outrageous but responsible
okay.
gambling. So last weekend, you know, I did all right. I had a 4-touchdown parlay,
mm-hmm.
which netted quite significant amount of money for me.
Yeah. Paid your rent at least.
No. I live in Toronto. It's like...
Week's rent.
Okay. So one better last weekend put $1 on the following parlay. Deebo Samuel touchdown. Check. Kenneth Walker touchdown, check. Christian Kirk touchdown, check. Gerald Everett touchdown, check. Dawson Knox touchdown, check. Daniel Bellinger touchdown, check. KJ Osborne.
Wait, Daniel Bellinger?
Never heard of the guy. Check. KJ Osborne born touchdown, check. Jamar Chase touchdown, check. Dolphins defense touchdown, check.
Wow.
With that crazy $1 parlay, including a defense touchdown, how much money do you think he won?
$1?
$1. He's...
$10,000?
Or... So maybe it was $10, sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
Whatever. $999,000.
On a $1 bet.
Justin?
No chance.
Yes, Justin.
$1. $999,000?
He turned a $10 bet, sorry, into almost $1 million.
That's wild.
Like, that's why sometimes you do the just $5. That, like, you do something ridiculous.
That's why, like, why play the lottery?
When you can do that.
Like, at least this would be entertaining. Like, give you something to, like do
I like
the entire
doing a
weekend.
I do a goal-scoring parlay sometimes. I do a touchdown because you're like, oh, that hit. You're not, like, counting the rebounds. But,
forget the Powerball ticket. Just do the touchdown thing and make yourself $1 million off 10.
But what a random selection of some of these players. And the Dolphins defense. Like, he's probably like, yeah, that one's never going
to hit. It wasn't even that, like, Bellinger, yeah. It wasn't even that random until... The Dolphins' defensive touchdown, though. Like, it was kind of...
Right? It was like, okay, that guy should get, that guy should get one, too.
It was mostly reasonable. What are we doing here?
I know.
So I mean, what am I doing? You pretty much hit the same thing.
But mine wasn't too outrageous, either.
It was about half of that.
With Christian McCaffrey and Kenneth Walker out of the first game, Seahawks Niners, Evan Ingram and Gerald Everett in the second game. So, like, that one was a bit spicier.
I mean, Jerry Everett's kind of... Not obscure, but that wouldn't be my number one option there.
Okay, well, and then I did a next touchdown score. That one was weird. Christian Kirk just did a touchdown next, and that one hit.
Help both you.
So anyway, something can happen with $1. You know, if you play the Wake and Rake, you don't have to put big money on it. You can put $1 or $10.
Chip in a chair. That's all you need.
All right. For tonight, we got lots to set up for the Wake and Rake. Are you doing anything from tonight's Toronto games?
My run on over-unders in the NHL will continue. I'm going to leave the potential anchor stuff to the listeners,
okay.
Whether that's the Raptors or the Maple Leafs. I'm eyeing the first game in rotation here, which is the Ducks and the Columbus Blue Jackets. These are the two of the three lowest scoring teams in the league. If you look at this matchup versus, say, the Leafs and Jets,
yeah.
300 combined goals between the Leafs and Jets. Between the Anaheim Ducks and Columbus Blue Jackets, 216. So considerably less. These are two of the lowest scoring teams in the league. These are two of the worst offensive teams in the league. However, their offense is suppressed by other teams, great teams, right? So kind of worried about this, but if I am playing the numbers, when two teams that are bad get together, yeah, they can put up goals,
mm-hmm.
but this season they both have struggled to score. So I will take the under 6.5, Anaheim and Columbus. I'm hoping that, you know, misery doesn't love company and that they get the best out of each other, at least in terms of a fun game. But if we are playing the numbers, you're going to hang a 6.5 on two of the worst teams in the league from an offensive perspective. I have to take the under 6.5 minus 115, Anaheim, Columbus.
And they're both rested. There's no back-to-backs. So I don't know if that affects your thoughts at all, but just a statistic.
Hopefully the goaltenders are rested.
Okay. I believe they will be. So tonight's projected starter, go back and listen to the 6 a.m. block if you want to hear us argue about who it should be, is Samsonov on left wing lock.
Okay. Not always right, but
it is not always right.
We probably expect Samsonov.
Against, obviously, Connor Hellebuyck, who's been the Jets' mainstay. Just information for your ears.
What are you implying?
That I was right.
Oh.
Well.
You're making this as a right and wrong. Like, I'm not like...
You
this
are
is,
Team Murray.
I'm going to be mad
you're
if they don't.
The
I just
drum.
Want to know if Murray can play hockey in April for the last time.
What about Samsonov? He might be able to play hockey in April.
I mean, he's can't stop talking about how nervous he is. You don't think he's going
to
be nervous?
He said
playoffs
it twice.
In April? He said it twice on this team. He said
true.
It last year in the playoffs for Washington. He says it all the time.
Yeah. At least he's
nervous
honest.
Nervous Nelly. At least he's honest. But do I want him to be a playoff goaltender? I'm not really sure.
Okay. So, all right. You're doing under in that game. I'm going a little bit, not risky, but something I don't usually do. Just a straight up money line pick. The Buffalo Sabres at home against the Islanders. Both teams haven't been great as of late. And I know that our Sabres include one of our Hall of Famers, Tage Thompson, who also has been, like, they need a win tonight is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
The Islanders are on a back-to-back. Coming from home where they lost to the Bruins last night 4-1, a tough Bruins team, a tiring team, a game that, you know, you have to put a lot of effort into. As the Maple Leafs know, Sabres have been sitting at home waiting, and the Sabres are still playing for something, and so are the Islanders. But I just like the Sabres to get off their little schneid here. And the Islanders haven't been great as of late. I know you were trying to tell me off the air that they're sweet.
I mean, they're in postseason position right now, are they not?
Yeah, but... They haven't been, I think they've lost 4 of the last 5.
They're actually not. They have slipped. They're third in the wild card at the moment.
So take a look at the standings. And I like the Sabres at home tonight. I'm just going to go with them. I'm not going to think twice about it.
Two teams that are kind of in similar boats
and
chasing
it's just
in
like
the
a
wild
coin
card
toss
in the Eastern
as
Conference.
Well. The coin toss tonight.
Okay, so you're taking
Sabres
you're taking a minus 120 on a coin toss?
Oh, I'm seeing it at minus 110, both
okay,
teams.
Then
okay,
that's a real coin toss then.
It's just a flip of the coin. I'm seeing it at minus 110, both teams. If you see it at minus 120, whatever.
And I guess the difference would be that one's on the second half and one's mm-hmm. not. And for that reason, take the edge on the coin toss. Go
That's right. Okay, let's take a look at our parlay submissions. Adam in the truck. Good morning, Rakers. Congratulations to my boy Stamkos last night. Thanks for the money. Tonight I see the under in the Leafs game. The Jets hit the under 15 of 17 times in the last month.
It's a hell of a stat.
That is a great stat. Rasmus Dahlin is our power play point getter at plus 160. I also like Mitch to continue the point streak with 2 tonight at plus 120. By the way, Mitch Marner at home setting records.
Yeah.
He's like on the longest.
Not as much fanfare for this one.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's like the longest consecutive Maple Leafs home point streak ever,
yes.
But we just, it's different than his full-on point streak yeah. that we were celebrating like the cup.
You can only gritty for 1 point streak.
So he likes him 2 points tonight at plus 120. Happy baby Friday, Adam in the truck.
I could get behind that Leafs under.
I like that too, especially because Samsonov's going to shut the door. Best goaltender in the league.
There you go.
Good morning. Our Hall of Famer did it again last night. He finished with 15 rebounds. For my anchor pick, I'm going to stick with the rebounds theme and take the early NBA game in Paris. What? They're playing in Paris?
I guess.
Like, is there marketing or are we, like, dumb? Because did you know they're playing in Paris?
No.
Exactly. Vucevic to get over 12.5 rebounds at plus 106. Okay. The marquee matchup is Celtics and the Warriors. Oh, Juliana.
That's the one should be in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. Juliana says take Steph Curry over 27.5 points at minus 106. Steph and Tatum should match each other and go shot for shot, which will lead Curry going over points. I love that. Another note, I want to apologize to all the Rakers who played the alternative parlay yesterday. It was my Rashford pick who didn't score a goal. That's okay.
No need to apologize.
He had many opportunities, but he just couldn't put one in the net. My days of picking goal scorers in the EPL are over. You know what?
Keep it going, Ron.
We can never be upset with Ron because I think he started the Randall train.
You brought a Hall of Famer to our consciousness, and
you are always in
we always
our
need
good
picks
books.
For the alt Wake and Rake.
I love that. Oh my God, it's Parlay Poppy. One electric start to the year. Jokic got his triple double. Oh, that's right. We forgot about that in our parlay that we was our alternative parlay. Mm-hmm. And my parlay hit is per usual. Yes, I saw in my messages this morning, Parlay Poppy sent me his bet slip.
Did he? Nice.
Since you're twisting my arm, it was times 26 multiplier. Welcome to the big leagues, boys and girls. Today's pick is the Vegas Golden Knights to win in regulation against the Detroit Red Wings, which is currently being offered at 195. See, I hate when they put it that way. I don't know what that means. 1.95. Let's convert it to the other stuff for us, Parlay Poppy. I'm going 2 for 2. It's already been decided. The question is, what will be the anchor? Will it be making another parlay that everyone is free to tail? Wow. It'll be Vegas in regulation, Panthers in regulation, and Vucevic to get a triple-double in today's international NBA game in Paris. Okay, everybody else knows. Multiplier is 444.
Double-double, he says. Don't go triple-double.
Double-double. Yeah. Okay, guess everyone's watching the game in Paris. Okay, so he likes Golden Knights to win in regulation against the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay, let's keep it moving.
Okay. Trabian. Good morning, Eric from Burlington. Elite stat. Leafs are 1-0 with me in the building, and I'm back. Leafs are a lock. I get another pick tonight with some actual thought. I like the Ducks and Blue Jackets game tonight will be a snooze fest. I'm taking the under.
Jason Priestley, Eric from Burlington. Everyone in attendance there. Ducks
it's a
and
big
Blue Jackets.
Game.
They're taking the under?
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay. That's my pick, and I guess enjoy the Leaf game.
Okay, Neil in Newfoundland, and I'm going to butcher all of this text. Another Aussie Open win, Rublev coming and covering the 5.5. Okay, time going with the women's draw. Barbara
Krejcikova
to win on the spread 1.5 games over Kalinina. God, Neil. She's a former Grand Slam winner, God, playing really well over the last few months. Okay. Look it up. I like that Krejcikova to win minus 1.5. That's Neil in Newfoundland. Automatic bet.
Let's anchor our alt line with that alt parlay with that.
Kraken money line in New Jersey coming in hot, but last of a game, a five game West Coast swing, Seattle 8-2 in the last 10, giving you plus 105.
Those Devils are plucky.
That's Big Mac. Wake and rake, Nylander over 3.5 shots. He's hit that in 4 straight games. Yeah, he's electric. That's Chris in Mississauga. Good morning, Wake and Rakers. It's time to make Randall the GOAT amongst the Hall of Famers. I don't remember anyone being this much of a lock. As for today's pick, I'll go with the Leafs money line. That's Jag and Scarborough.
Okay, 3 more. We got 4 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Good morning. For my Wake and Rake today, it's Leafs versus Jets to go over 6 at minus 120. Ooh. That's Allie in Toronto. Good morning, it's Corey from Port Hope. Stammer was on a tear last night. Good call, Eilish. No problem. Thanks for tonight's Wake and Rake. I'll take New Jersey Moneyline versus Seattle. Ooh, that's conflicting. Mm-hmm. Neil in Newfoundland with another Aussie Open pick. Keep them coming, Neil. And Youngstown I didn't read the full message. Youngstown minus 15.5 playing Green Bay. Youngstown is going to cover the spread at 71% this season, winning by an average of 12 points and covering the spread by plus 4. That's Tim and Alston.
Okay, so
that's a lot to unpack.
A lot
there.
To sort through there. Do we have enough for an alt? We got 2 minutes. We should definitely get our Wake and Rake down.
All right, breathe. One more for the alt parlay. Haaland to score today.
Okay, so Erling Haaland to score. Youngstown on the spread and our Krejcikova at the Australian Open.
Yeah.
That's the all parlay.
That's our parlay.
Let's quickly get the real one down here. Is it the under, or did we have one dissenting opinion there?
Okay, Leafs under is a great one.
But Allie in Toronto went over.
Well, Allie, girl, I don't know, man. I'm getting a little worried.
Leafs money line, Jag and Scarborough.
Okay, so there's Leafs money line, there's Leafs under, and I think it'd be nice to put something from the Leafs game in,
yes,
personally. And but Nylander over shots. Chris in Mississauga, he said that in four straight games. I'll let you pick tonight.
Nylander over shots.
Okay, because I've been picking lately and I missed last night. So
the money line is juiced up to -170. So I don't think it's in play, but I don't think it's going to give us much. And if we have dissenting opinion on the over under, we shouldn't pick it. I'm
okay,
cool
so
with William Nylander.
It's over 3.5 is okay. What we're going to put today. Gary from Caledon also says Dylan Brooks under was free money. Today, my pick is Leafs to win in regulation, but let's go with Willie over 3.5 shots.
Let's do it.
Okay, so all together, because we want to have a Toronto thing in there. Under in the Ducks-Blue Jackets game, that's set at 6.5. Sabres on the straight-up money line against the Islanders at home, and over 3.5 shots for William Nylander tonight, Maple Leafs hosting the Jets. Altogether plus 510, where I'm seeing it. And our alternative parlay, which I don't have time to put together because it's a lot of clicking.
It's okay.
Holland to score, Youngstown State, not Street, -15.5 against Green Bay. And what was our...
Krejcikova
to win on the spread
at the Australian Open.
Neil in Newfoundland, who knows his tennis.
And we should note that the Raptors are in Minnesota tonight, -4.5 favorites for the Toronto Raptors.
I wanted to put something in that, but there was no player props up. But, you know, Pascal's been playing. I mean, all the Raptors.
The NBA is the most difficult thing because it's like we don't have injury news, especially at this time. We have lines up, but we don't have player props. It's a little difficult to get the Raptors involved
and
as
Raptors
much as we'd
arrested.
Like on the Wake and Rake, but -4.5 favorites tonight in Minnesota. Let's see what happens there.
All right. Lots of viewing tonight, Toronto-wise. Jets here against the Maple Leafs, as we mentioned. Justin thinks it's the biggest rivalry in sports. Raptors on the road against the Timberwolves at 8 p.m. You got a nice staggered viewing experience. Thanks to our in-studio guest today. That was a nice little treat. We had Jason Priestley and Michael Geddes in studio, creators of Offside, the Harold Ballard story. You can watch that on Sunday on 8 p.m.
And go listen to the podcast.
And go check out the podcast because we also had Josh Morrissey on. A great day for us. We'll be back tomorrow on Real Friday. Thanks for listening to the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Is that you?